Thank you for joining us for Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something and where we cover your pop culture landscape through our geek lens. We're broadcasting from the Twin Cities Film Fest studios. I'm Ms. Shannon. Across the table from me, my good friend and our executive director of the Twin Cities Film Fest, Jayton Satia.
What up?
I am so excited that you are surviving because we are going into full swing of the Twin Cities Film Fest season. And this is how I can tell that you and I are very good friends, because just for everybody that is listening, we are going to go over some cool things today, including a recap of the Twin Cities Film Fest preview fundraising gala that happened last week. And so as I saw my good friend Jayton walking into the venue where we're going to have this glorious ballroom that all of the volunteers at the Twin Cities Film Fest did a great job putting together, and the staff of the Metropolitan Ballroom put it together.
It was fabulous.
Now, what did not look great was my good friend Jayton when he first came in.
Hey, now. That was I was pre-gaming beforehand, which was taking mini micro naps.
As you walked by, I remember going, "You look tired." And all Jayton says is, "Shut up."
Only a friend can say shut up to another friend.
And we just moved
understand.
On.
Yeah. No, yeah. It was great. You know, I had a lot of people, of course, after the event said, you know, nothing but positive things. It was a great evening for the festival. Typically, this is a kickoff for the festival for us. But I had at least 10 staff members come up. It's like, "Are you going to go get some sleep?" I'm like, "No, I'm too amped." For the energy that was around the room, and now we actually have to get to work. Like the next 3 weeks is logistical nightmare, and getting 130 plus films here, all of their assets. I mean, filmmakers from across the country want to know when their films are. Can they come in? Do we have airfare? Do we have a hotel?
Is there a bulk rate at the hotel? All these questions,
all
I'm
of
sure.
That. And yes, we have all of the pre-planned, but it takes steps, one thing at a time. So all of our filmmakers this weekend are getting their invites to fully accepted invites, as well as all those that didn't make it, unfortunately, are getting their rejection letters, which is the hardest things for us to do. We had unbelievable, close to like 800 people that submitted and or we curated their content. So. But it was a great evening. Thank you so much for an incredible job you did.
Oh, thank you.
Not that I had any doubt when I invited you to MC the evening. But
it was
wonderful.
I was very happy to do that. And we are going to recap some of the things that went down at the Twin Cities Film Fest Gala, because Twin Cities Film Fest Preview Gala, because that was also an evening with Steve Zahn. So I have some great clips from when Steve Zahn was giving his speech and some great moments of the night.
It was incredible.
And today we are also going to have our guest geek on. We are having our good friend, Will Spotted Bear, back.
Spotted!
Jayton, I brought him on because he is our big comic book fan. And there's been a lot of buzz about the new Venom movie that's going to be coming out in October.
Yes.
And I thought he would be a great resource to come in and talk to us about that. But the other thing, speaking of people that you are friends with and you think you know a lot about them. So I was re-looking over Will Spotted Bear's website to make sure I hadn't missed anything in his bio as I was introducing him to our BR Geek audience. And I found something that I don't think he and I ever talked about. So I have questions.
There's some hidden gems in
there? Yes, I have questions. Huh. And we are going to hit those later on in the show.
Do you think he puts those gems in every other day? Just so you were visiting and oh my God, what did he just drop?
Like little Easter eggs?
It's like little Easter eggs.
Yeah. I would like to say that it was that specific, but I think I know Will enough to go that he doesn't do that.
He just made the website once and that was funny.
This could be a typo. I could bring it up and he could go, "Did I write that? I don't remember writing that." So we'll see. I'm very excited to bring this up.
I have a website?
So I'm excited to see what he thinks about this. But back to our Twin Cities Film Fest Gala. It was an evening with Steve Zahn. It was a great event. We, congratulations to everybody that came out, and we got to showcase lots of people. And I wanted to bring up some of the evening's highlights regarding Steve Zahn, because there's so many people, we've seen all of his movies. People are, he's one of those actors that you go, "Wait, you were in that thing and it impacted me in such a way."
Well, it's like that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
There's
6 degrees, if not shorter, 5 degrees of Steve Zahn.
Right.
That we actually talked about.
Right. And, and I had a chance to kind of catch up with him before we got to the gala, and we were just sitting at the rooftop and talking, and he was talking about how his parents still live here in the Twin Cities.
Yes.
And his parents live literally around the corner from my mom, it turns
out.
And
I didn't know that. You told me that. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
And then your mom is like, Steve's on.
Right.
I'm like... And you were like, yeah, he might literally be walking around your
neighborhood. Because he says, well, when I'm home, I jog past there. So, you know, it was just funny and like these very, like, the way he is so important to this community. And we know as Minnesotans, you like to claim things. And so when we have a guy that's as cool as Steve Zahn, we are going to claim him all the time. So I'm not surprised that the Twin Cities Film Fest, that you and your team decided to give him a Lifetime Achievement Award. And he did have a chance to kind of hit on the fact that that might be a little odd, that he's only 50 and he's getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. And so I do have
a clip
of that.
Who said the exact same thing?
Who?
Leah Thompson, when she received it. But
right.
I'll tell you what she said and then what I think this meant to the Zahn family.
Yes, yeah, so this is great. And I think that it's fantastic that also, I know 50 is not that old, but they've done such an amazing body of work. I do think it's fantastic that being able to have them have their family there and people that influence them at a gala like the Twin Cities Film Fest Preview Gala and them to be able to thank them in person.
Right.
I find that very charming, and we're going to go over some of that. But first, we did have our other friend, Jason Matheson, one of our local TV hosts here in the Twin Cities. He actually did the question and answer with Steve Zahn. So you'll hear him talk throughout this as well.
How does it feel at the age of 50 to be getting a Lifetime Achievement Award?
Well, after that, you know, it's kind of weird when you watch this stuff. You're like, wow, that was a long time ago. That was wild. There's so many different things. But it is weird.
Do you ever, when you see something like that, do you ever see a movie and you're like, oh, crap, I was in that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you forget about it. I mean, people...
Do you really? Do you forget that you were in a movie?
Oh, kind of.
Yeah.
Come up and say, like, hey, you remember the one? You're like, nah, what? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Oh, I was in that one.
Yeah, no, it's weird. It's as actors, you don't. It's not like things are connected. I don't know if we were talking about this earlier, but you go from one job to another. You know.
Yeah.
And so it's not like you're at the same company. It always changes. That's the beauty of it. And you never lose that angst, that anxiety, and that. You know, what's the next gig? You know, am I going to work again? Are they going to figure me out? And this is it? You know, it was a good run. And so it's weird to think of it in kind of a chronological way. And they do connect in a weird way, but so it's odd.
And I thought it was just interesting because people always ask you, is he the same in person? Or what did I thought of this when I see him do other interviews. And Jayden, what do you think? You know, I thought he was a great guy. What
I thought
do you
he
think?
Was great. You know, when I first met him the day before the gala, when we picked him up from the airport and started, literally he was like, whatever you guys want to do as far as media goes, I'm all for it, which was incredible, right? Being for a celebrity of that status to say, I'm yours. To promote you, your event, your festival, the independent film, which was great. So when I first met him, he was the most like unassuming. He was actually battling a cold.
Yeah.
He just coming down from like a flu or something. So I gave him, I extended my hand for a handshake. He was like, I want to and I will in the next 48 hours. But right now we're going to do some elbows because I don't want to get you sick. But that's the fun. Like, that just brought me down to, like, oh, he's not a big celebrity. He's
right.
Just a cool guy.
Yes.
And he was that and more as far as a cool guy. Like, you just want to hang out with him. He had so many stories you would not believe. He was my drivers who drove him around. My
yes.
PR people who were with him all day. My staff who were just around him just to take care of him and his needs. They all said, hey, I know, Jayden, we're not supposed to talk to celebrities. Professionalism, right?
Right.
We want to give them the space because we have plenty of them that come through. But they were like, he was a chatterbox. He would not shut up. So, like, we
hence my story about him saying,
right?
What? Where'd your mom live? That's
right?
Close to my mom.
Which was the most unassuming. Like, you don't expect that, let alone from a celebrity, from anybody, just to open up that wide. And for him to do that, it was incredible. So, yes, from my perspective, he was well above and beyond what I had actually seen him on TV and other interviews and whatnot. He is that guy. He's literally that guy.
And our friend Jason did a great job of just asking him the questions that you see on a regular basis when you see celebrities out there doing the circuit and promoting different things. But he also did a really good job of just asking him some things that I think really helped us get to know Steve Zahn. And one of the things that Jason asked him was, is there any movie or anything that you had out there that you didn't take and you regret? And I thought this was a great answer.
Give us one. Come on,
Steve.
I'll give
you one. I was offered Band of Brothers.
Wow.
Entire audience like, whoa.
They're quietly rethinking this lifetime achievement. Jayden is looking for next year's already.
Right? Yeah, no. That was a big history buff. Tom Hanks and Gary Gitzman, they knew that, and he offered me that, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because of the reason why I couldn't do a lot of things, and I wasn't pregnant, my wife was pregnant, but we together were pregnant, and yeah, I was like, where is it? In Ireland. How long? Like 7 months. How much? You know, it was that thing, and I was like, I'm going to be divorced. I can't do that. But I really, and Tom knows this and everything. I just, it kills me. It kills me. And you know, I have a couple buddies that are on it. And I'm like, you guys, was it great? Yes, it was great.
you want them to tell you that it was awful.
Totally. We all got scurvy. What? They didn't have any oranges? Like, no. We didn't have Google.
He was just so genuine and so sweet throughout the entire evening and did a great job of like just playing along and talking to all of his fans, just looking so unassuming. And one of my favorite parts of the evening, Jayden, is when you got to come back up and actually give him his Lifetime Achievement Award.
The physical actual award, yeah.
Yes, and watching him actually get to thank, as we mentioned earlier, yeah, it does seem a little weird to be getting a Lifetime Achievement Award when you're only 50. But he covered that so graciously.
And he did. And one of the things that I want to kind of point out is, you know, yes, of course, he's too young to get a Lifetime Achievement Award and all that fun stuff. But I think when the clip that I think you're going to roll, at that point he realized that it wasn't for him. It was for his family. It was for his mom and his dad. And he had extended family there. He had cousins there. So I think all of them, as much as they know how great of a talent he is, I think it was for them.
Right.
Lifetime Achievement Award. Like, yeah, this dude deserves it. We're just giving it to him, you know, earlier than most people would have.
Right.
So, yeah.
So we're going to start with a clip of him first. You know, as you mentioned, Jayden, kind of it seems to be that point where he has that realization that this is for him, but it's for so many other people.
Well, I appreciate your time. We appreciate your time.
No, I got more to I'm kidding.
It's time to actually give you the award that you are here for. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the founder of the Twin Cities Film Fest, our good friend, Jayden Satya, everybody.
By the way, Jayden, you gave him that's a snazzy award you gave him.
You've said a lot, but if you want to leave on closing remarks, the mic's all yours, the room's all yours.
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, these guys have been amazing. Since the minute we started talking, it's truly been remarkable. And I want to thank Jayden and Bill. And you guys have been great. And this is an incredible, proud to be a part of this. This is very weird. I mean, my mom asked me to weed whack today. And I was like, I'm receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award. And she said, there's two batteries in there in the laundry. So I weed whacked. I did. I actually weed whacked. So it's weird to be in Minnesota and to be at something like this. It's that's part of the business. It's very strange. But there's I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for this state and this, the sparks, the people that encouraged me when I was young, when I was in school, in public school, not in a private school, in public school, where I was exposed to dance and music and singing and improv and sewing, and because I didn't take German. And not only was I exposed to that stuff, but it was quality. It was really good. And the people that taught it were really good. And some of them were brilliant and are responsible for me being here, period.
And it was just interesting to watch him as he was able to look down at his table, Jayden, and think teachers that he had that were able to attend. Ashley, thank his parents were there. So I, you know, good job, Jayden. I think you did a good job selecting it.
All we can do as far as organizers of any event, and you've emceed many events, you've hosted many events, and you've been behind the curtain, and I'm sure Will can attest to this as well when he's presenting and or is in front of an audience. The organizer's job is to set the stage. Literally, that's it, to make sure that every single thing is done right and leading up to a moment. You don't know what that moment, and I think I talked a little bit about, like, during my speech, I talked about small moments.
Right.
And every small moment leads to something big, and it's up to you to realize what that moment is, and that's your moment, right? Whether it be as a listener or whether it be as a speaker. So for us, it was just setting up enough things to have that small moment, and not for us, but for the audience members, as well as the recipient. So when that moment comes, you can't help but to take a deep breath and say, this is it. Everything that all the, like, it took 6 years to get Steve here.
Wow.
It took mm-hmm. 6 long years to get Steve here. So I think about my first approach, to my second approach, to my 35th approach, to the him finally saying yes, to the PR tour, to putting the gala together, to this moment. And you can't, I mean, if this didn't happen, it's still a great event.
Right.
But it happened. So, yeah, we did what we can just to set it up so that a moment like this can happen.
Well, it was so great to see Steve there, and I think people really appreciated being able to see the question and answer. So what we'll do is I do have the audio over the entire evening with Steve's on, so we'll put that up on our BR Geek page
as
well.
That'd be great.
Yeah, so we'll put that up along with you know, some highlights that we'll go over throughout the show. And to be honest, let everybody know that tickets are now available. Right?
Yeah, so for the Twin Cities Film Fest, our festival starts in October. This week is when we're looking at putting all the films on our website, and our app is going live on the wherever you get your apps, depending
right.
on iOS or Android. Films will start to populate. You can buy passes now. We're going to be start putting up like the actual schedule and give us about 10 more days or so, finalizing a few things here and there. But within 2 weeks, you'll be able to buy tickets. But if you buy passes now, you have first dibs on any movie you want to come see. And that's just TwinCitiesFilmFest.org/passes.
Perfect. All right. So we'll have lots of updates as that goes, because it sounds like you actually have some nice little sparkly stars that might be coming through the Twin Cities Film Fest this year. So we'll see how that goes.
Hopefully all of those will have small moments as well.
Right. So we are going to cover, we'll get all that information and make sure that it's on our Be Our Geek page.
I know that I'm not going to have Tom Hardy here for Venom. Just because the film will get released before the festival starts.
Boo, boo. But we will do a lot of chatting about Tom Hardy in just a moment when we have our guest geek, Will Spotted Bear, on. And also, I'm going to hit him with this question on what popped up on his bio.
Let's do that.
All right. Welcome back to Be Our Geek, still broadcasting from the Twin Cities Film Fest studios. Again, I'm Ms. Shannon. Jayden Satia is here. And Jayden, it's time for our guest geek to come to the microphone.
I love your shirt, man.
Thank you very much.
So our guest geek this week, comedian, coloring book producer, my good friend, Jayden's good friend, Will Spotted Bear. What's up, Will?
How you doing, Shamshan?
Will, can you put the video game that we on pause? Okay, that is like that's how you know he's a good geek.
This will be quick. We won't make. This will be fun. Okay.
I'm not competent in the game.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And I'm not. And I'm not gonna yell at him too much because Will Spotted Bear plays a video game on his phone called Marvel Contest of Champions, and I also play the game. We're in the same alliance, so I'm sure he is doing the Lord's work.
Thug life.
I know. That's how you know somebody's a good friend. If they're in your alliance, you're like, oh, I saw him move.
Yeah,
he took down
Lord's work, and he says thug life.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, pretty much.
Exactly. So for
we went to different schools.
So for all of our Be Our Geek listeners who are not familiar with Will, I just want to let them all know that Will Spotted Bear, I knew this. He won the Funniest Person in Minneapolis. Uh-huh. He was a semifinalist in the Seattle Comedy Competition. I was aware of that. Mm-hmm. I know that you've done shows all across America and Canada on your own and part of the Native American comedy troupe. I know you did all of that.
Yes. Is any of this a surprise to you, or you know you did all
this? No, but I feel like this is a trap because like when a lawyer goes like, so we both agree you were at the scene on August 2nd, 1994.
Now, when I say that I'm friends with Will Spotted Bear, this is a person that I see on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. You know, we text all the time. So I feel like I know stuff about his family.
You know Will.
Right, I know Will.
And it's outside of the Alliance thing. Like, we meet up outside of the, like, that's a big thing. It's like, I see him, like, every day. Is it, do you see his avatar? Like, that's not a friend, Kevin.
Don't just take down that note. Like, yeah, we're real life friends.
Yeah.
So when I was looking through Will's bio today, and you guys can go find this bio at willspottedbear.com. Willspottedbear.com it is.
Wait a couple minutes. I don't know what's on there.
It was and was featured on Outrageous Acts of Psych on the Science Channel. Wait, what?
Wait, what?
Is that still on there? Oh, that's super bad. All right.
Wait, what?
Once it's on the internet.
Amazing, outrageous acts of psych. Like, what is that?
It's just. See? All right, this came as a joke. I really didn't know that was in there still. I was on it, so.
What's the show?
Yeah, what is it?
It's like one of those, like the I Love the 80s VH1 shows.
Sure, okay.
But I wasn't like one of the comics. So I was doing this comedy contest in Hollywood called the Red Nation Film Festival. Mm-hmm. I don't bring it up that often because if anybody that isn't native says the name, they sound racist as hell. You know? But it's a great thing. The Red Nation Film Festival is a yearly festival that promotes Native American actors and musicians and stuff like that. It's a great thing. That's real. And then I got to do a show, and it was like the first show I got to do. I got to do with other Native cats because I started – in the more assimilated world, not the native world, and so me and a couple of guys were walking down there, and there's this like bouncer at a bus stop, and so they're like I don't want to break the fourth wall of reality TV shows, but it felt like I was walking into an ambush because like there's a guy there, there's two guys on the corner, and there's one dude across the street, and I'm like, we're gonna get shot because again I went to a different school than Shannon, and like this guy's like, hey, you should sit down because we're doing this thing, right? And like they did the reality show, and then all they did was made fun of us on it. Like going, oh, these guys sit on anything for a VIP seat.
So bizarre.
Yeah, fine. But it's the only way you're going to get three Native comics on a cable TV show in 2016. So it was the funniest thing to me because it was so dumb. And then a lot of my friends saw it because apparently it's like after Impractical Jokers four or five years ago.
Oh, okay.
Or whatever the show was, right? But I never watched that crap.
So you're like,
it's a great
show. People are texting you going, hey, did I just see you on TV? And you're like, is this spam? Are you like catfishing
me? And it's
me
and two like very native looking cats. So they have us on like a bus stop because they said like there's a VIP thing and guys, anybody will sit at VIP section to do this, which wasn't true. They had to talk you into it.
Okay.
When you have to talk you into actually doing something, you know, like, well, is this even legit? Like, I don't even see a set here.
Right. So apparently I looked up the scene later and it was like, it's like a small park bench. Now I'm like 6'3" and I'm like 250 if I wasn't going to be honest about myself. And
that's what you put on your license.
But that's my license weight. Yeah. But I'm a pretty big dude and I was the medium sized guy Because like natives are either like short and stocky
right.
or like
or
trees.
Yep. Right.
And so we're all trees, like chilling on this thing.
Three
so,
groups walk
yeah.
into a bar.
So like so. I'm like my hand is on the ground, like waiting to get comfort in the seat, and they're making fun of us. And then something came up where I just said, "Oh, that's a cred now." And so I started putting it on the crappy one-nighters like in like bars and stuff.
Yes,
because I thought it was funny
and it sounds impressive.
Yeah that's the
look,
thing.
I'm legit like yeah. Will and I kick it on a regular basis yeah. Like he's one of the people that knows my home address, so when I saw this I was like, wait, what? That yeah. sounds so legit.
It's
that
so,
sounds like you're like have your own like sci-fi. Keep it because it sounds
yeah.
dope.
It was such a like I'll
well,
be because like
expand on it.
Yeah. Well, comics do this thing where like the cred's got to be real, which they don't, and yeah. like they lie a lot. But like I remember, so when I started in North Dakota, which means I started in like 2010. I started like touring in 2011. By that I mean like people would come through and I would open for them.
Right.
But, like
sure.
these cats, like. There was this like kind of age gap of like guys from the 90s that were basically paying for their alcoholism doing shows. Now there were good ones that like
yes,
loved the
course.
Craft, but there was more of those that were doing that. And so these guys would have these creds that were either like super dated, like
yeah
I was on Bonanza.
Right.
Or like there was one I've actually said this one I went, I don't like the dude that much. So this was like 2010. He had like I was on Friends. And then I watched like all of Friends.
Right.
I literally watched to find this dude. I couldn't point him out, right? And so what it meant was he was probably just an extra in Friends.
He
was a
like
dude in the coffee shop. Yeah.
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 So it was one of the funniest things I ever thought, right? It was just one of the funniest things. And so I did that a long time ago. And yeah, I forgot that was probably in that. That's hilarious. No, I'll
dun,
use it.
Dun,
yeah.
Dun.
I did.
I will introduce you as that first.
Yeah.
Everything else second.
That's cool. I'm good with that, man. It makes me sound smarter. Like, no one believes I like studied psychology or sociology. So that's the only time I was like, oh, maybe he knows something.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought it was going to, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is going to turn out to be like,
yeah.
Like,
nope.
Why didn't you tell me you did this one?
I'm a dirty liar. That's what that is.
That's what pays his bills, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair
he's
enough.
A psychologist on the side.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm one of those public speaker ones. No, all my stuff is, as long as I'm doing comedies because I'm so depressing. If I don't tell jokes during it, people cry.
Aww. Well, we are going to also talk about the depressing comic book that you were getting ready to publish.
Oh, yeah, that's a good segue.
The depressing coloring book. So, yeah, the depressing coloring book that you have coming up because he
the
actually
ink
does
runs.
That. Yeah, so he has that coming up. And the other thing about Will is that whenever I deep dive pretty often into comic book land,
yep.
but not as much as my friend Will Spotted Bear. So if I ever have a question or I can't remember who a character is and why they should be important, Will is my go-to for that kind of thing. Because do you still have the comic book for it at your house?
I don't. I now have a comic book trunk and closet.
Oh, that's very adult of you.
Yeah, I moved. And so I have like probably like 30 long boxes,
wow.
like legit. And wow. And then like 20 short
are they all
boxes.
Insured?
Yeah, actually, I had to get a new set because I had a fire company. That's how I got the comic book
there
for.
You
was
go.
I had a fire, mm-hmm. and so like yeah, so I have so at my old house, I made a smaller house in my house with the comic books. Like they made the walls, and then we moved, and so now like my room, I have like. I want to say like 9 deep.
Okay.
Of like of wow. just comics, and it's like 3 high, and then I have a closet in the living room that's like full of comics, and so yeah.
I didn't know you. I mean, I knew you were a comic.
Right.
I wouldn't even say aficionado, junkie. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I didn't know you collectibles.
Mm-hmm.
You collect.
Yeah. But I collected only ones I liked. So it started with like when I was a kid, I found. So I was. My mom did a lot of like public service stuff and community stuff, and so she would get comics donated. I really couldn't afford to go to comics once every couple months, and so I got all these like comics that no one cared about. So like I got a lot of Hawk World from like the 80s,
right.
which is a really deep political book, and because of that, no one knows about it. And then like the old Legion of Superheroes with the Griff Aarons one or whatever. I don't know writers. I literally know about the characters.
Right.
It's kind of depressing how much I don't care about the people that write it. I do now. I'm learning. But like,
right.
But I cared about the characters. That's who I related to. And
but I think that's a lot of people. I mean, there are most people who follow the storylines and can tell you everything about the people that are in the comics that they love. as if that is a friend or a family member. Like,
right.
they could tell you their whole biography, yeah. but they may not know as much
it's
about
true
the writers.
With films as well, you
right.
know? Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, I love that character. Well, who's a writer in that film? I don't know.
Right.
Right,
who's
right.
the director? I don't know.
Well, I've met, to doing this, I've met, like, two writers, like Ellie Rahal and Katie Rex.
Yes.
Which are both very good writers. And, like, I buy the car. It's super cool because it's like, imagine, like, seeing your friend in a movie. Actually, I know this for a fact. It's like seeing your friend in a movie where you're like, oh, I know them. And then, like, if you read their comics, it's like, oh, that's right. it's really dope.
Yeah.
And,
it is interesting when you run into somebody, because I have an author friend that's like that I had read his books and then happened to be on a panel with him at a con, and then we exchanged information. I went to his social media page and was like, oh, wait, that's the same guy. Like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, I've actually read your books, like, in the wild, and it just doesn't stick in your brain.
Yeah.
So it is nice to be able to go, oh, wait, I'm a super fan in real life. Do you
right.
think it's weird sometimes when you go, wait, no, I'm friends with this person? Does it feel...
It sometimes
okay.
is. Like, I try to downplay... if I have cause I have some friends that are, like, at least in some worlds, very, very famous, some, like, activist communities and some and other things. And, like... So, like, if I meet other people, I downplay it a lot. But, like, I have some friends that are kind of, like, local celebrities that, like, it's interesting when people find out about, like, that. It's interesting. Like, it gives me some clout.
Right.
I get that all the time. I'm like,
yeah.
you know Miss Shannon?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I didn't want to say
I'm
nothing.
Like, I know
but
Shannon.
Yeah. Miss
yeah,
Shannon
you know
is
Shannon.
One of them. Well, that's a real thing because I was a
Will is
was
the biggest person that harasses me about being local
I don't
famous.
Harass you. I inform you of a correct thing. I'm like, you're we walking down the street and like, oh my God, it's Miss Shannon. And like, the thing is that I moved here a couple years ago. So
right.
like, I met a couple cats that were Minnesotan, like Minnesota, like heavy here that I truly didn't know. And then
right.
we're walking down the street, it's like, oh my. like I think that's a cooler way of doing it. Cause
right.
I mean, yeah. Cause my first time I met Shannon was like my first time coming to Acme doing a comedy contest. And you were very nice to me.
Yes.
Much nicer than, well, you shouldn't have been.
In retrospect.
I was new and, like, I was, my ears were dripping wet.
You're
and,
a nice guy, though.
Yeah, I am.
It all worked out. Yeah.
But, yeah, so, like, very nice. And so, but I knew her just as a comic, like a more accomplished comic, but a comic. And then, like, once it was like, oh, like, this is a little more heavy, it was kind of, that was a more interesting one where, like, where, like, people have talked about you. Like in different friend groups, and
right.
I'm just like, oh yeah, I literally know this part. Like, I could call her. Another one is Fancy Ray.
Yes, Fancy Ray.
I love Fancy Ray. Like, super great dude, right? And I know him personally. Like, we've taken car rides together, and he's always Fancy Ray,
right?
And he's always great. And
for anybody outside of the Twin Cities area, we will tag Fancy Ray in things because he is a phenomenon and a force of
and
nature.
You are welcome. It's seriously, it's a thing. And And so same thing where people are like, are you famous? And I'm like, well, I know Fancy Ray. And they're like, oh, well, you must be famous. Like, it works, yeah.
It is great. And so I'll be honest with you. I am not a big – I, of course, know of Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse.
Yes.
But when I was coming up as a comic book kid, Spider-Man was not my go-to character. So if I saw Spider-Man – in a cartoon, I, of course, am familiar with all of those, and I would watch The Amazing Spider-Man, I believe it was when we were younger. I would watch all those.
Yep.
So I know that deep. So I needed to dive into Will Spotted Bear's lexicon of deep comic book knowledge when we started talking about Venom, because I was very interested in the fact that now Sony was like, okay, we put together our Sony Marvel Cinema, you know, Spider-Verse, like, what do they call it? It's a really boring name. I was, like, actually kind of disappointed that they decided to call it what they did.
I think it's Spider-Verse.
It's the...
Yeah.
Spider-Verse?
No, that's giving it too much credit. Sony's Universe of Marvel Characters is what they're decided to call it. Sony's Universe of Marvel Characters, the SUMC, is what they are carding. So it's a very no-nonsense, no Spider-Verse, nothing.
Yeah.
So, but they do sound like they're going to do... If Venom takes off... And they're hoping that it does, obviously, because they already have Tom Hardy signed on for a 3-picture deal if the first one works out.
Okay.
And then there are other things that they plan, and it seems like they are continuing to go the anti-hero route. And does that sound like a good description if we're talking about Venom, Will?
Yeah. Okay. He's one of those 90s famous characters.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was like bigger and badder and kind of like evil version. And then like he became like a lethal protector.
Right.
And so because like in Spider-Man 3 it was pretty accurate with the Tobey Grace one. Like some of that was accurate where like basically they're both scorned people from Peter Parker.
Yes.
So like the symbiote got broken up with Spider-Man because like the black suit was originally Spider-Man's and then it split off. And then Eddie Brock lost his job because Peter Parker snitched him out for cheating. He was being bad. And so they hooked up, like they got connected, and they both had a resentment towards Spider-Man, and that's how he became Venom. So basically it's like your exes getting together and getting mean. That was basically what happened.
Fair enough.
That's exactly, I mean, that's the thing. And then like he was like super cool, and like and then they made him like an anti-hero and like a lethal protector, and then they kind of like after that they kind of bounced him around.
Right.
So like he doesn't have, there's one point like the symbiote broke off from him, they made more symbiotes and da 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 da, and then he became like anti-Venom for a little while,
right,
where he could cure cancer and he was white. It's like, yeah, like there's not tons to the like, the thing is with most Spider-Man characters is, like, that people know Spider-Man.
Right.
But they only know, like, the first 10 minutes of Spider-Man.
Right.
So everyone still thinks Spider-Man's in high school, where he was out of high school in 1967.
Got it.
Like, 56. Mm-hmm. In the issue 56. And then all the characters, they know him, but they only know him, like, either from a cartoon or very.
And that's how I was. So yeah. I do remember the cartoon version of Venom, which is nothing like the Venom movie is going to be.
Right.
And I do have the trailer. So we can go ahead and play this and kind of get our listeners up to speed on the way that they're looking, that the Venom is going, the way that Venom looks at is going to go.
We are Venom.
I'm Eddie Brock. I'm a reporter.
I always seem to find myself
questioning something the government may not be looking at.
I found something
really bad. And I have been
Eddie.
Who said that? Taken.
Look around at the world. What do you see? A planet on the brink of collapse. Human beings are disposable. But man and symbiote combined. This is a new race, a new species. A higher life form. What do you want from me?
You'll find out.
I'm so sorry.
I'll do just a little more because I like this.
We cannot just hurt people.
Look into my eyes, Eddie. The way I see it. We can do whatever we want.
That part I like.
Do we have a deal?
I find that part very interesting. The character of, you know, when we're going through the list of anti-heroes that we can follow,
right.
The idea of having this version of Venom where it's, you know, you're torn where you can now, you know, back to what, you know, the great power comes great responsibility, which we know from the Spider-Verse in general,
right.
To be in this scenario now where you have this incredible power, but to be torn and go, am I going to let it get out of control? And how am I going to
control me or
right.
Am I going to control it?
Right.
That
right.
part sounds fascinating to me.
Yeah, yeah. And Tom Hardy's like great at that. Like,
yes.
He's a ridiculously great actor for the role. So hopefully.
Yeah. So when you first heard about the film and you first heard about the direction it was going to take, what were your gut reaction? I'm like, is this before watching the trailer? And I'm assuming you watched the trailer.
Yeah. I saw the first one where it was just like him. They didn't show Venom and then they showed Venom and people got mad. It's one of those things where like people just get super mad anyway. So it doesn't really change any weather.
Right.
I think it's funny. Like Jenny Slate's in it.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of the reporters and she's dating Captain America. Like Chris Evans, like they're actually dating, so I think that's hilarious that there's a crossover.
I was excited. There's some other things that they do plan, it looks like, are in the work with this new Sony universe of Marvel characters because they do seem to be going the anti-hero route a lot. And they're going to do one, possibly the vampire villain Morbius is about to be one.
Yeah.
And it looks like they are looking at Jared Leto for the lead role in that, which made me happy and sad at the same time.
Right.
Because when he's great, he's great. But he, when he goes all in on weird, then he's just weird.
Yeah.
That's how he was in Suicide Squad, in my opinion. Like, he took the Joker to, like, a point where I'm like, I don't get this, and this is odd. And his whole method acting, charactering, building thing outside of the film itself, his process, I find disturbing.
I like emo Jim Carrey.
See, and I wasn't feeling it. And then they're looking at doing a Kraven the Hunter film is possibly in the work. And then they're also looking at developing movies based on Silk, Jackpot, and Nightwatch. And so they have So they have a lot of things that are out there that they're sitting around with. And then finally, one of the things they mentioned is they're possibly putting together a Black Cat film as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Cause she's like in every Spider-Man franchise and has never been pulled out. She's like, because she was in Amazing Spider-Man. She was the woman from Rogue One.
Okay.
And then in Spider-Man, like in the one with Garfield.
Yes.
And then
Andrew Garfield.
And then I think there was one of her in Spider-Man like 2 or 3 with the Raimi thing. That's cool. I think so you remember like The Mummy with Tom Cruise?
Yes. Yep.
So they tried to make an extended universe with that, right?
Right.
But they busied it up and no one cared.
Correct.
It was like a Mission Impossible with Ghost and no one cared.
Just him running and they're like, he's good at running. And they don't care now.
But it was supposed to have like Johnny Depp as Dracula and Russell Crowe as like Dr. Jekyll and stuff. And then it just got crushed because The Mummy got destroyed.
Because
it was Tom Cruise and it wasn't Mission Impossible. But like that'd be an interesting thing if they pulled that where they went to like the more horror centric genre. Because like I know Fox was doing that with the New Mutants. The New Mutants movie is like a horror movie with mutants, which I'm like. Because at this point, it's like Marvel's kind of got the superhero thing down.
Right.
And it's like, if you do. Because you're not going to have. You don't have Spider-Man, so you only have like the villains or the second tier people, which is interesting because they don't actually need Spider-Man, but it's interesting to have all these characters without that centralized theme, which means you have to do some kind of out of pocket stuff.
Right.
Because they all kind of got created because of him.
And I think they kind of learned that if they go the right route, a la a Deadpool, Ant-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, they can still build a following if they make a quality movie. And and I do also think that the thing with these Venom movies is that they're like, we're going to make adult films, but we're not going to make them dark for no reason like the DC Cinematic Universe tried to do, where it was just dark was just characters dark. That you knew, but were so dark. And they're still trying to do that with that Titans thing that Jayden and I watched. Have you seen the trailer to Titans? Where he's like, F Batman. We're like, slow down.
You don't need it.
Is that a movie or a TV show?
It's going to be a series. On
so
their app.
Cussing?
It's on their app.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they're
The Hawk and Dove looks dope. Like, the costumes look cool as heck. Like, but, like, yeah, no, I saw the preview, and I'm like, I don't think they care. And then, like, there was the... They had a photo of Starfire, and then people lost their minds.
Isn't that not right?
It's like, she's not 7 foot in orange. Well, no.
Right.
Like, whatever.
And that's what we do, and I do appreciate that you brought that up, Will, is that as geeks, we do take our canon and our characters and our loves very precious. Like, we keep them, we hold them so precious. And there seems to be room to wiggle, but not much. And maybe that's a smart decision, you think, for Sony with this Venom? You know, to go this route with these kind of characters because they do have a little more wiggle room.
I mean, I think it's just ones they have, but yeah, I'm sure if they had it, they'd wiggle around with someone else. But like, I mean, I think it's a good thing. It's like, the thing about Night Watch or any of those, like Night Watch is a real in the cut thing. Like that's
okay.
It'd be like Prowler's more known than freaking Night Watch. I think Night Watch was like a future him from a future self gives him a suit and then he becomes a superhero. Yeah, it's like suit. Yeah, like it's
like that's so meta. I can't even breathe.
Yeah, it's heavy.
It's like a half the movie just to explain that.
Yeah, yeah. Just an older him pops up and it's just gonna be like the dude with like one extra wrinkle and then like But like they could do interesting stuff with it. But like thing about Guardians that was kind of good is since nobody like. Black Panther's another one, right?
Right.
So, like, Black Panther, everyone, like, Black Panther's been the background character for the last 50 years.
Right.
Right? And so everyone goes, what do they use in his story? They're like, they don't have a black, like, you always hear about Wakanda, but they only went there, like, four times ever.
Right.
Like, I don't think the Fantastic Four showed up there.
No, it was mostly they tried to go there, and then they got kicked out.
Yeah, yeah.
And they like, didn't hang out in Wakanda, except a dabbled. They dabbled.
But that's what you know Wakanda for. It's like, don't come in here.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
We don't need you.
We don't need you.
But, I mean, but it's interesting with that. And then, like, even, like, the half the characters, right? So Killmonger is a character who's around the 70s. And then the tribe, the war tribe that I forget his name in the movie, the big dude, really cool. Like, he's ended up being friends.
Oh, the ape?
Man-Ape. Yeah, so the character he's off of is a guy called Man-Ape. And everyone just goes, yeah, we're not
saying that anymore. No.
They're just like,
M'Baku is M'Baku, dope now, though. M'Baku, now everybody.
Yeah, he's the
M'Baku's the panty dropper in that show.
Yeah, he's the man. Right. I love him. I love him. And I'm like, who's him? I'm like, who is this guy? Because I'm trying to remember. I'm like,
you're like,
I think,
oh, Man-Ape. Yeah, we don't say that anymore.
Yeah, and I'm like, ah. Because I was talking to someone about it. And like, so it's tough to. Because like, we're talking about this with Dr. Voodoo.
Yes.
Right? So before that, he was Brother Voodoo. And he had like, Loa and Voodoo stuff, and like it's so bad.
Yeah, it's pretty.
And I said Brother Voodoo, and I saw two people like lean back, and I'm like, look, man, that was his name. I'm sorry.
You go back to the origin.
Yeah. Yes,
and so it's and they made him a doctor, even though I'm pretty sure he didn't go to medical school of any kind. And,
there's doctors who have medical degrees.
They did, yeah, they should have like a mini series of Mr. Voodoo really learns his craft,
right?
But
And then they gave him one posthumously or something.
Yeah,
like
and they made
it's
him,
an honorary degree.
Yeah, and they made him good for like two issues, and then they killed him off, and then brought him, and then they backgrounded him. So like, Dr. Voodoo would be a great one because he has no real depth of story, right?
Right.
Like Spider-Man, frankly, doesn't either. Like everyone knows Spider-Man, but nobody like most people either know Gwen Stacy or Mary Jane, and that's kind of the generational drift. It's like if you liked Gwen Stacy, then you were before the 80s. And if you like Mary Jane, you're after
the 80s. We'll have to have you come back on again when that new Spider-Man animated film comes out later this year.
That looks
so
good.
Does look amazing. I am curious.
It's like a Christmas release or
Yes, it's around December. Yeah. And that does
that
look amazing.
Looks great.
Yeah. Because they made so many different. Like, that's the cool thing is they're pulling out all the Spider-Man. Like, the Miles Morales, which is amazing. And then even Silk and, like, Spider-Gwen. And Yeah, they have all these, like. they messed around and have an entire ensemble cast of really cool spider characters.
So we're excited about that. And I think that that's good, too, to be able to expand the universe for new fans that are like, okay, so if all of us deep dive geeks can, like, get out of the new fans' way, this will be a wonderful world eventually.
Right, right.
And bring other people into the fold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Venom might be great. Just because, have you ever seen Bronson?
Yes.
Yeah, Tom Hardy's so good at that stuff that, like, it might be. Like, that'd be worth the price.
And they're obviously putting some effort into it. Like, out of the blue, one of my favorite rappers, Eminem, decided to drop an album. So we didn't know. He pulled, like, one of those, hey, here's a drop an album on you. And one of the songs on his Kamikaze album is a song called Venom that allegedly is going to be part of the soundtrack for Venom. And you guys said you hadn't heard it yet.
I have not.
Okay, then I'm going to play it for you. Now, look, admittedly, the last album that Eminem did, I like it just because I like Eminem. It wasn't, that doesn't mean it was a good album. So,
right.
I feel like he had a lot of ground to make up with this Kamikaze one. So here's the cleanish version of Venom from the motion picture. Here we go.
Get ready for a lot of pauses.
I got a song filled with shish for the strong-willed. When the world gives you a raw deal, set you off till you scream, piss off, screw you. When it talks to you like you don't belong, it tells you you're in the wrong field. When something's in your mitochondria, cause it latched on to you like knock, knock, let the devil in. Malevolent as I've ever been, head is spinning, this medicine screaming, lick, 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 medicine. It lick, lick like a solid ball, let go.
I'm gonna pause that just a second. Did you hear that he just said "lick like a salad bowl"? And
nope,
I'm like,
what
are you talking about?
I don't know.
I'm impressed that he did it. There was some other stuff in there that I'm like, okay, I like the mitochondrial way that he said that word. I was impressed with that.
Can
that
I break the fourth wall real
what?
Quick?
Yeah.
She has page. Shannon has
I looked at the lyrics of the lyrics. Oh yeah, I
so
downloaded the lyrics.
Knock,
I do
knock,
that all
let the
time.
Devil in.
Yes, exactly. I do that. I overanalyze one, and then after they put out a lyrics version of the video,
and she censored it.
Oh, yes. Did you like that? Yeah, I have a little asterisk for everybody out there.
She doesn't want her inner voice hearing all those dirty, dirty words.
No. I mean, I worked in a commercial radio for years and years and years. So there's lots of songs that I just don't even like the dirty version of it because I don't know the cleanish
song
one.
Not needs the dirty version.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So I have like a thing. I'll put, you know, for everybody now that we've broken that fourth wall, I'll put a little snap of my notes so people can see what it is that I speak from when you go here. And then if you're curious about what the lyrics are, I will put those on our Be Our Geek page. So we have to get to the chorus part of it, and it takes a second, though, still. We're not quite there yet, so we're going to play it for a little bit. Gelatin, think my skeleton's melting. Wicked, I get all high when I think I smell the scent of elephant. Manure, hell, I'm in Kahlua. Screw it, to hell with it. I went through hell with accelerants and blew up myself again. Volkswagen. I do love his voice. Fuck it, man, my pal skin mailing. Went from Hellman's and wait. Being real thin for Amphit. Scribbles and Rev Olympics, 97 Freak. He just dropped a bunch of names. And we still haven't mentioned Venom yet. Wait. Dr. Dre said, hell yeah, and I got a stamp like a postcard worth a mailman. And I know they're gonna hate, but I don't care. I barely can wait to get finally hear about this. Here we go. Better prepare to get laced because they're gonna taste my venom. I got that adrenaline momentum. Venom, not going with them. Never gonna slow up in them. Ready to snap any momentum. Thinking it's time to go get them. What do you think?
I like it.
I like once we get to the Venom. I'm a fan of the that one.
I'm a big Bizarre fan, so him and that the cornerstone of the D12 band.
I miss D12.
Group. They're not a band. They had a song that
we missed D12. We'll let that play in the background a little bit for a little while longer.
I can see the appeal to the song as well.
Yes.
It's like a mainstream appeal to it because, again, he's not just talking about Venom as a character, but like the fact that people are going to get angry when he starts to spit his venom at him.
Right.
Which is great. A lot of people can take it a lot of different ways and actually make it their own anthem and whatnot.
Right.
I see it the first time I hear a song, I think about the beat and the like what's happening in the background. The second time I listen to it, I listen to the words.
Right.
I can absolutely see an opening credit sequence and a closing credit sequence to this song for sure.
Right. And I saw it for sure a closing credits, but I saw it as one of those a battle sequence not the initial one, because the initial one will be Tom Hardy still like, am I accepting of the fact that I now do this, and like looking too concerned. But I felt like the first time that he truly embraces that he's going to go all in on this, then I could see this coming in.
It's like a chase
in a fight
sequence, and him getting ready to go somewhere, and just
that slow-mo where he rises up into the camera shot.
Let's all we'll between now and October 5th when the film comes out, we should all like we'll put our bets in for when it pops up in the film, and then we'll like do lunch. The
Maybe
winner
we'll
can get lunch.
Some sort of a social media contest, and have take some people with us.
Yes, it's a good idea. Yeah. That's a very good idea.
They can't look me in the eye, but yes.
Listen here, Prince.
Avert your gaze.
I do appreciate the fact that if Sony is getting people like Eminem and other people that are on the soundtrack, they're clearly taking this film seriously. And I think that music can make or break a film. And there's sometimes where the soundtrack is better than the film.
Right.
Back to our Suicide Squad conversation. Yep. That whole soundtrack was dope.
Right.
And it was so much better than the film from beginning to end.
Yeah, it was,
And even if we want to take a non-geek thing, I think that people take their music so seriously. Let's look at The Greatest Showman as a film. That was another one where the soundtrack took off, and people really had slept on the film and hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
And they're like, wait, Hugh Jackman, wait, a what? And we're like, no, really, you have to go see it. And then once they had gotten so attached to the soundtrack, then
they
it had a resurgence.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
Yeah, so I
The 1990 Touchdown classic, Pretty Woman. So a lot of good music in there.
Is that a Roy Orbison reference? Was he the
No. It's the movie. So
the movie itself, but
So it was like the first movie that had like a sound. Not the first, but like one of the first that had a soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And the reason they hear the songs, they would play the entire song in the movie. It's something I forgot about, but I watched Pretty Woman a couple of weeks ago.
I'll have to give that another look.
Yeah, like, seriously. The King of Witchful Thinking is one of them, and it's on, like, the entire, like, they play the entire, that Richard Gere drives for 2 minutes and 39 seconds, the length of the song.
All right. Now I'm going to have that as earworms for the rest of the day. That's okay. I'm
not even
right
in
that.
The background. It's the foreground. Like, you don't hear the car. You just
really
hear that sweet, sweet, mulleted voice.
I like that one. I'm going to find that while we're looking at this. So, Will, yes. Remind Jayden about the comic book. I'm sorry, the coloring book that you're working on.
I'm making a coloring book called Depressed Superheroes. And so it's like a self-made thing. And, yeah, so, like, it's I'm starting with it because I'm a big, you know, geek, but I don't necessarily look the part. And so, like, it was just fun. It
you
was,
don't present
I
geek
don't,
enough?
I don't present, yeah.
So when I open
pass.
Up a page and I open up in the middle of the coloring book, there will be a superhero on mm-hmm. the left, and on the right will be what he or she is like in real
yeah.
life?
Kind of. The first page will be what, like, them doing something like superhero-y,
gotcha.
And then the second page. Because like, I found
okay.
this is part of the thing of, like, so I was here, like, 2 months ago, and, like, we were talking about it, and then trying to make the coloring book since... Yeah, the thing about having an idea to, like, making practical knowledge to it, most artists know this, is that, like, making a coloring book, you can't be two-sided because
okay.
colors bleed.
Ah, got you. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, so like, I got this book, and they said, no, you don't. And then I had to go back
wow.
and fix it. They were much nicer about it than that, but, like, it's, they did it in that nice way, you know,
sure.
like, you know, like, they went to all the college classes. And so,
but you did learn that it kind of takes a village, right, to get these
kind of
things
yeah,
done?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I got an artist, Tim Tapp, who's great. He made some really great stuff. And so, like, I just yeah, it's like the idea of that where it's like, yeah, just depressed.
So when is it getting published or self-published?
It's self-published.
Our kickoff party?
Our kickoff party.
Our
the
coloring
album
book
color
release?
Release party. Yeah, it's September 26th. It's going to be at Sisyphus Brewery.
Cool.
I got some, since I do stand-up, I got a bunch of comics doing some time. So
a bunch of comedians.
Show.
We need
comedians.
To say comedians,
comedians
so they don't
yeah.
think that it's just comic
yeah.
show.
Comics
like,
and
like
comics.
It's,
yeah,
okay, exactly.
So I have local celebrity Shannon Paul, Dan Ali, and Greg Coleman, and possibly a couple other cats.
That's
and
great.
Like, yeah, it'll be a real fun show. It'll
September 26th.
September 26th. And then it's just brewery, so like before that, probably like hang out and have like other geeks and nerds come up, do like a little meetup beforehand, which
very
I think would
cool.
be cool. And
so are they going to be like coloring stations?
Yeah, sure. That might sound like
a that's
idea.
A great
yeah.
idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There is a Twin Cities coloring, adult coloring meetup group already. You should invite them.
Yeah,
oh,
so
yeah,
like
yeah.
get them to buy the book, then everybody colors, and then
yeah.
maybe one, maybe have them color like one particular, like the first page.
Right,
and then
right,
the best
right.
one gets a prize or something.
Okay, that's
we'll help you come up with the prize.
Yeah,
yeah,
we'll,
that
yeah exactly.
That'd be, that's a really, really good idea. Yeah,
like maybe we'll like give them
adult coloring.
See, this is the problem with being a comedian is I'm not good at like party plans. So I'm like, here's my book, take it and get out. So when you come to the show and it's more fun and has like entertaining stuff and prizes, you can thank us lovely podcast because I would have been like, throw a book at you, throw money, same time, I don't know you, and then
no, we'll help
you.
You
can listen to the jokes.
I think it'll be great. So
yeah.
we're gonna put all that information out there as well.
Yes,
and I see that you're gonna be other than that. Going back to your website that has facts on it that you forgot that you had on it.
I do.
I know you're going to be traveling there. Again, right?
I am. I'm going to Kansas with Mike Brody a couple weeks of the week after or the following weekend of this show, and then I'm going to be in Juniors in Erie, Pennsylvania, the comedy
Ooh.
Club in Juniors, which is a really, really fun place.
Nice.
And if you want to drive, it's worth going to. I don't know how much overlap but like it's a beautiful place, fun club, and then yeah, go back on the road, and I'm gonna try to get more into like comic cons and stuff like that. I'm
okay.
already working on the second book, which is super fun. Like it's really fun. It's fun to draw, to get the stuff done, but it's interesting trying to get making visual jokes.
Okay,
because that's a really because like you know like it's all supposed to be like you know ironic or funny. And like some of that stuff is really interesting to try to make happen.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a fun new exercise.
The
for sure.
What was the most difficult part of the process for you, Will?
Yeah, just figuring out that part of like so like I had a joke in my head, but since you only have one page, like that's what I love about covers, like comic book covers, is that like best of the time they could tell you the whole story, right?
Right.
And. Or some you ever pick up a book with a cover so much cooler than the story you get upset.
Yeah.
yeah. And
It's like the trailer giving away the entire movie.
Kind of, yeah. Or like the trailer. Yeah, it's like it's literally like Suicide like, Squad.
Right. Literally, they pick the best parts of the film and put it in the trailer.
Yeah. Or Fantastic Four. Yeah, or like, wait, where's all that? How come even, none of that was in there?
There wasn't even good stuff in the Fantastic Four. Oh, I'm so mad at the trailer. I'm glad Michael B. Jordan got out. I feel bad for Katie Sarah. But great actress stuck in that crap movie. But yeah, like making something happen in one page is an interesting it's an interesting exercise for sure. You know what I mean?
So if people are unable to come see us at the Sisyphus Brewing event, where else can they get your coloring book?
Right now, since I'm self-publishing, I figured it'd be easy to find out like the publishers on that. You can message me on my website, mm-hmm. and I can get one mailed to you or anything like
willspotterbear.com.
Willspotterbear.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going from there. And then or come to my shows, and I'll be selling them as merch. And then be working on getting into Comic-Con, so sell them at tables.
Well, congratulations.
Like
I think we can help you do that, too. You can come sit at our tables.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
It'll be fantastic. Yeah. So everybody, go to willspotterbear.com. Make sure you grab that Depressed Superheroes. Did I say it right? Depressed Superheroes. Yeah. That is going to be so fun. And we're going to figure out a good way to do that over-under on when the Eminem Venom song shows up in the film. We got time.
Right.
We got the rest of the month to figure that out.
Right. Yeah.
We'll do that. So we'll make sure that we mention that in the next episode of Be Our Geek. And speaking of, we always encourage you to make sure that you go to our website. You can go and find us on Facebook and Twitter at just search for Be Our Geek or go to podcast1.com, Be Our Geek. For previous episodes, you can do that. And we'll put that information up as well. And they can, of course, always find more information on what's going on at the Twin Cities Film Fest at twincitiesfilmfest.org. Right, Jayton?
Yes, ma'am.
And we will be encouraging you to go and get your tickets for this year's event. And in the meantime, we appreciate you joining us. That is this episode of Be Our Geek. And we'll see you next time because everyone is a geek about something.